Welcome back to the Business Buzz, the business topics that matter, an insightful and fresh take on a variety of issues that impact the local business environment.
Good morning and welcome back to the second segment of today's edition of the Business Buzz right here on Radio K-Man. This segment, we focus and discuss on Alcohol Awareness Month being put on by the National Drug Council, which we'll use the acronym throughout the morning as NDC. We have as our guest, Ms. Louisa McLaughlin, Research Analyst, and she's of the NDC Prevention and Information Officer of NCD, Mr. Juno Barnett. Joining us also is Mr. Simon Miller and Mr. Donald Hooker. We'll also be joined by telephone from Cayman Brac, Ms. Julianne Scott, Prevention Educator, and Ms. Anne Rose Scott, who's Alcohol Awareness. And we are pleased to have in studio Mr. Jiffo Robinson, yes, owner of Jungle Bar. Thank you all for being with us and allowing us to put the spotlight on NDC.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Ms. Anna Rose, actually, my apologies, is from BAM. Are you with us, Ms. Anna Rose and Ms. Julianne?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, tell us how, what is, over there in the Cayman Brac, what is your aim and your mission being connected with the NDC?
Okay, I'll first start with the meaning of BAM. It is Brac Against Alcohol Misuse.
Mm-hmm.
And our strategy is to educate, encourage, and enforce. We have been working, in partnership with NDC to get the word across to the community, beginning in the schools and what have you, about effects of alcohol misuse amongst, especially amongst our young people.
Response thus far?
It has been, I would say very good, especially since NDC have a rep over here now, Ms. Julianne Scott, who has been going in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, we do programs and activities in the community, focusing on alcohol misuse, like I said, amongst our youth.
Now, help us understand the role of the NDC over there in the BRAC exactly, and that's Ms. Julianne, I'm asking that too. And, how has it been perceived with the children in the school and her many ways in outreaching those persons?
So, me being over here as an NDC rep, we try to offer as much programs as we do in Grand. So I have been in school with the kids, both high school and primary school. We do a few things in the community as well. We do offer PIPS program, Parents as Preventers, all of those various programs, as I said, that are offered in Grand Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to get into all those different areas they are being offered, but we're just waiting on doors to open pretty much for people to take up the opportunity to utilize those programs. But overall, within the past pretty much year that I've been here, it has been very receptive. Everyone in the community has waited for an NDC rep here for so long, so we're all just working hand in hand.
Now, even though we are one Cayman Islands, do you find, based on all of the works that you're doing over there, that alcohol is the choice of drug amongst young people here in the Cayman Islands?
Yes. Based on our CISDUS results, which is the student drug use survey that we do every 2 years, we do find that alcohol is the drug of choice. So we do find that over here in the BRAC.
Now, I'll just throw it out to my in-house panelists, and we'll be, if at any time, you ladies over there in the BRAC want to chime in, by all means, you're a part of this discussion as well. Help us understand the main role generally and its mandate of NDC.
NDC's mandate is to provide policy advice, information, develop programs, and conduct research in following key areas. Education in particular to the young people, prevention work, treatment, and rehabilitation. We do all this through our conferences, seminars, and meetings related to drug abuse. We do some studies and reports and other documentation on the drug abuse, such as CISDUS and the prison surveys. We do information databases on policies, programs, and research on drug abuse as well, and we provide information on the availability and supply of drugs likely to be abused here, and as well as try to help with the legislation relating to the misuse of drugs in the Cayman Islands.
Now, with the surveys that have been conducted by NDC as it relates to alcohol amongst most teens, based on the results gotten, is there a difference between here, let's say, in Kimmerbrook? Or you've just pretty much pooled it all into one? What have you seen?
Well, in general terms, right, because we don't like to segregate and across the board, what the results appear in Kimmerbrook are similar in Grand Cayman. If definitely the drug of choice in the Cayman Islands among students is alcohol.
So are there brochures that persons can avail themselves from NDC, and where can they get them?
Well, information you can gather from our offices, right? We are located at the Kimanian Village, and also on our website. Our website have a lot of resources, not only our research initiatives, but also other our programs and more information about these subjects that we are talking today.
Where can person get additional information from the BRAC?
These brochures are also offered in the BRAC at the NDC office in Weston, at the office of the Department of Children and Family Services, mm-hmm. and also at the Youth Development Center in the Creek.
I think we're going to end that segment there with the BRAC. Is there anything else you would like to leave with us from the BRAC's perspective, ladies?
For the prevention, we are doing, and this is BAM, is organizing a glow walk around the State Bay Loop. And this will be a fundraiser for, to assist in sending the youth over to an international conference that is spearheaded by the National Drug Council. So that is our drive mm-hmm. right now for the Alcohol Awareness Month.
And when will that take place, this walk?
We're hoping this month, but there are so many events going on right now that it might be a post. But we are organizing it because it is, like I said, a fundraiser. So we need to,
promote
drum up enough funds for that.
Okay. Any closing words from Ms. Julianne?
Just that, just as we do in Grand Cayman, we do it over here as well in terms of just getting the public to know and understand dangers of alcohol, both in adults and teens. We just want to continue to get the public support. And as Louisa said, they can go onto our website at any point in time, which is ndc.ky, and get any information.
Thank you so much for your contribution. And again, we want to thank Ms. Julianne Scott and Ms. Anna Rose Scott joining us by way of telephone in this first segment of the Business Buzz here this morning, telling us about their initiatives over there in the BRAC. Thank you so much.
Thank you
all very much, too. Have a good day.
You too. Now, what is the important role of parents in giving kids a better understanding of the impact that alcohol can have on their lives? Because many a times children pretty much emulate what they have grown up around, but they become their own little individuals and be their own decision makers at the end of the day,
Absolutely, and I think When we hear from Louisa in a little bit, Ms. Sabrina, that we will hear that our survey results show time and time again that parents are, the greatest influence, have the greatest influence on their child's life. So we want parents to really take that responsibility seriously. Start having the discussions. Mm-hmm. Start having them as early as possible. They would know the level of conversation that their child could understand. So, we encourage parents to start having that discussion. Find any sort of moment to have that teachable moment with them.
Now, with the way social media and smartphones are being used, coming up and let's say, the topic tonight is alcohol. And probably they saw you at Easter having a few, how can parents get their attention?
Again, like I said, find that moment to have that teachable moment. It could be you taking a drive. Get in your car, take a drive, find a popular TV show that showcases alcohol, find a music video that mm-hmm. showcases alcohol inside of it, and just start to open and have that dialogue. Don't have a closed door type of relationship with your child, because you don't want your child to be having a conversation with somebody outside, because that person might just so happen to, say something to your child that is not in line with your core values mm-hmm. as a family.
Now, what social factors likely influence alcohol consumption and underage drinking, in your opinion?
I would take that, and I would say, you know, like Mr. Miller just said just now, that parents usually, you know, like they have to be careful of the things they do. For example, for me, when I was younger, you know, I had uncles and stuff. They would say, you know, see, I take a sip out of this beer. And this is like 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, like, take a sip out of this beer. And, you know, maybe some other family member would say, no, don't give that child that. And they would be like, no, this kill you worms or whatever the case may be. So, and then parent, like as Mr. Miller said again, parents are so influential that even if my parent tell me something and the teacher try to tell me something in the near future, the teacher is wrong because my parents are right. So that's a mean key factor that we have to be careful about. And so that makes a big impact. And the next thing is alcohol is legal. So people think it's okay. It's always an American thing to sit down and, you know, take a sip of wine. And, you know, even at the table, they give their children a drink of wine and stuff like that. So which alcohol is one of the deadliest drugs ever exists. And it's a gateway to enough things as well.
Now, what are the thoughts on changing attitudes towards alcohol where some adults may often, you know, give excuse? How can we change that whole perception, you feel?
Well, first of all, it's kind of hard right now because I've been in existence for, you know, like a century now. And more than a century right now. Because at one point, you know, and I'm not straying away, but at one point, alcohol was illegal. And then they bring it back and make it legal again. Oh, man, it's kind of hard. All we would have to do is just, we would have to show prevention, show things, show consequences and stuff like that. Let the children aware of the consequences and stuff like that. And maybe that can help make a change, a full understanding.
Now, again, this month is Alcohol Awareness Month. What is this year's theme?
The theme for this year is that alcohol, it is not a rite of passage. What that means is that, as he was saying before, a lot of us, we believe that, especially once you turn 18 or as you become older, the more you drink, you know, it almost shows that you're more of an adult. And we're trying to dispel that myth, because just because you're drinking alcohol does not make you mature or anything
like
that.
Or an adult.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what role does, in your opinions, again, what role does media or social media platforms play in how alcohol is marketed and portrayed? Do you think that too can contribute to alcohol's appeal to people?
Oh, for sure.
Because it looks as though you're not having fun unless there's a glass of something. You've never seen a glass of apple juice.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. one of the things that the research has highlighted when it comes to alcohol drinking and the amount of it is that one of these three key factors is alcohol marketing, the other two being the access of it and the price of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So marketing plays a gigantic role in this because, especially in today's youth and culture, social media, TV, YouTube, internet, they have all these platforms to project and say, you know what, yeah, if you want to have fun, you see us drinking, you see us in the videos, we're having fun, and there's always some form of alcohol or other types of illegal drugs going on in it.
Mm-hmm.
We also see the opposite situation when you, that also social media and TV and all these kind of medias project to the people is when a person have a problem, also rely on a glass of wine or something.
Think you can drink your sorrows
exactly.
away.
That's the other situation that we have. Not only the joy of having a drink, but also when you have a difficult situation, the first thing that you said, oh, I need a drink to cope this day.
Now, we'll look a little bit more on the business side of it when we come back from this break. We're going to get Mr. Jiffo Robinson's take on, you know, running a business that alcohol pretty much is what makes his business run, besides dancing. And it's a good atmosphere as well, especially on Saturday nights, for the record. But, yeah, I want to get his spin on what his experiences has been like. What policies, rules that he has to adhere to when it comes to even underage drinking? Because some of these kids nowadays, you have to honestly ask for an ID. Unless you know their parents or know that child, some of them can pass for 21, 18, if not older. But we want to get it from the business perspective, but we'll get that when we come back.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz, the business topics that matter, an insightful and fresh take on a variety of issues that impact the local business environment.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. And before we go into the whole tips, we're keeping the spotlight on the National Drug Council. Just before that break, I posed a question, an understanding from a business perspective, you know, how Mr. Robinson, Jiffo, owner of Jungle, can handle what have been your experience understanding the laws that governs our islands, and this is international. How do you deal with children underage drinking? And even though you are in the business for selling what you sell, people having a good time, yeah. I'm quite sure you have had to really put your foot down.
Yeah. Well, good morning to the audience. This is Jafo. When it comes to the younger people, right, and having to put your foot down, like you said, most of the kids are mature looking. And sometimes we can't actually say they're underage.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had an experience a couple of days ago where a local man was in the bar and a young lady came in and she wanted to order. And he helped us by giving us a sign telling us that that little girl is 12 or 13 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, I said to her, I said, how old are you? And she just, this again? And got crazy and mm-hmm. left. It's not easy out there having to serve alcohol. You see, what happened, it's not only the kids too, you know. It's not only the underage drinkers, adults as well, grown people, people that control their families. They don't. Some of them don't set an example as well. They misbehave. Sometimes, as bar owners, we have people that come into the bar that didn't even have a drink yet, but they came from another bar
uh-huh.
under the influence. It's hard for us to have to handle that.
Right.
You know, there's no laws that protect us here. Going back to the laws, even with the advertisements for these youngsters, you can't watch a music video, whether it's country, whether it's hip-hop, R&B, somebody has a drink in their hands. You can't watch a sporting event,
mm-hmm. like
either.
Like what we were discussing off-air right
yeah,
now. Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl, mm-hmm. even the Champions League, they're playing today.
Heineken,
mm-hmm. bear a choice yeah, in the island. So, you know, it's not easy, but, you know, it's we try to work at it. Also, when it comes to the teenagers, right, you know, most of them are pretty, you know, they're pretty good, even under some influence,
mm-hmm.
because some of them are really smart. And then you have some that have issues, and they take their issues out.
Behind the bottle or
right,
in the cup.
Behind the bottle. I wouldn't say behind the bottle because any choice that you make in life, you don't need anything to make you make that choice. You make that choice because you want to. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Now, did you the TIPS program, the training?
Yeah.
You had some of your staff train for that?
Yes, I had three of my girls train for that. They're no longer with me, but I carry out the training. It's Brenda from the
NDC.
NDC. She did a good job of training me, and I got my certificate and everything. And what happened is that every time I hire somebody, I kind of like the hateful boss because I always try to get them to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I cut off people. They don't like it. If I hear you talk too loud in my bar, I tell you, no, I'm not perfect either, because I go to other bars and I might talk a little loud too under the influence, but I got more control because I've been drinking mm-hmm. as well for a period of time in my life, slowing down a bit now. You understand? But like I said, the TIPS training, all the local bars, all bars should have that form of training because it allows you to see something that's going to happen
mm-hmm.
before it happens.
Preventative.
Like, yeah, because what happens? Sometimes I just stay across the bar and I say, I hear a man talking loud or he curses two bad words. I say, I'll just give eye contact to my cut mm-hmm. him. And then after they cut him, he knows that he's cut, so he starts to like get aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then him or her, because women too. So I would have to approach that person
in your own way.
Yeah, and talk to him. And then sometimes they might smarten up and beg for another one because sometimes it just, you know, that they're drunk, people got pressure, problems. I give somebody else a chance to speak.
And you know, Sabrina, that's Mr. Robinson is a great example of the TIPS program that we've been pushing for a number of years now at the National Drug Council, which TIPS stands for Training Intervention Procedures, and it's the global leaders for alcohol server training, and it's offered free. And we hope that one day legislators would make this mandatory for all servers of alcohol. You've heard a true testimony from Mr. Robinson of how he utilized the strategies that he learned from a short 3-hour training. And you can be certified for 3 years. And it's globally recognized.
Are there a lot of establishments that are embracing this training?
We've done quite a number over the years. Last year, a few of the service stations, which came on board after they got their liquor license, like Peanuts up at Red Bay, 7 Mile Rubis, they reached out to us, and a number of other places. I can't think of them right off the head. But, just give us a call at the National Drug Council, 949-9000, or visit us on our website, ndc.ky. And you know, you could be trained.
Where can persons turn to if they're experiencing problems with alcohol?
Well, they have different. They have the counseling center. They have different. Some people don't want to go there to be recognized, so we have that problem. Some people don't want to go to the Caribbean Heaven, or some. There's just some which, you know, that's an inpatient treatment. However, you have, you know, you can, you know, go to meetings and stuff. You have open meetings, AA meetings and stuff like that. Or you can also come to the National Drug Council. And if we think that you've gone too far, then we refer you to the necessary agencies that you know, if it's too late or you're too far gone and you need inpatient treatment, we refer you to whoever you need to go to.
So pretty much persons would want to need help.
Yeah.
You can't just force that down somebody's throat.
You see, you know, it's beyond our, you know, it's not on the description as yet, but we Mr. Miller have a real passion with those kind of stuff, and they're you know, concerned loved ones that are very concerned about their family members, and they'll come to Mr. Miller, and we'll, you know, do a little intervention with them, you know, along with me as a support. They've been through certain things that I don't want to, you know, even start it because you don't have enough time in this segment. But we would go out in the community on our own, and people would listen, and we would show them the dangers of it, and they would actually break down and, you know, seek that help.
What have you seen in your outings of persons, and you actually, it's almost like converting that person to follow the Lord. It's the same approach pretty much when you're saying you need help. You can no longer continue down this path.
Yeah, it's amazing some of the things that you see in some of the stores. People have real issues out there. And we want them to know, we want the listening public to know that we're here for you. This organization is established as a support. And if we can't help you, we want to make sure that you can get to one of our stakeholders who is equipped to help you. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even know that you're actually developing an addiction, because it may start out of those every Friday happy hours with a bunch of friends, and then one glass of something leads to three glasses. Then the next week you find out it's no longer the one glass. Give me a bottle of that. And then you get the freebies that keeps coming on top of what you've already ordered for yourself. How do you know pretty much where, look, this is consuming me? Are there any red flags, any signals to say it's not just the happy hour, it's not just the liming, it's not just the socializing, you have a problem?
Yeah, most people are usually be in denial like that, right? Because denial is a big key factor of that. But then when people started, you know, like the ethics changes, the punctuality, stuff like that changes, and then it makes an issue at the family, like the girlfriend leave them.
And they're not seeing it, but everybody else is
seeing it. Yes. So when the children get taken away from them. So basically consequences. You know, some people can, you know, have to wait till they get all this get inflicted before they really see that they have a problem.
Right.
But denial is a key factor in that.
Now, from Mr. Robinson's perspective, all of a sudden, Sabrina comes to Jungle every Friday, every Saturday night, good to go with a ginger ale. Then he sees Sabrina come in for an absolute and cranberry, for example. Then that goes to a bottle of something. Would that raise, because of where you and I are coming from, Sabrina, you good? would you actually do that to me? Or you're just looking at her tab going up, boy, and looking for her next week?
Well, actually, you know the answer for that, because the whole public knows. It's not about the money, you know. I am in contact with, I would say, 90% of my customers.
Mm-hmm.
Guy walks through the door, what going on, Jafar? Everything good? I'm like, yeah, man, everything good. What are you doing? Normally, they'll just throw a drink at me. I can take it.
Right.
Because I can handle it. I might throw one back. You understand? But I see that they're having too much. They know what I'm going to say. Hey, take your time, man. What happened? You good? Sure you good? And normally, if they have a problem, because I'm in contact with them all the time, we could sit down and we go outside around the back and we'll talk and try to, you know.
Find out what's going on.
Yeah, what's going on. And most bar owners should have that kind of relationship with their
customers.
And I learned that because I'm a people's person. And then with the training I got from the tips, that got me more involved, because I realized that, you know, hey, it works better like that. And if you're drunk, you can't, don't buy me a drink and try to fool me because I can get one. No, I cut you myself. Look, mm-hmm. Listen. Hey, I can cut your blood.
Cut
I never even
off.
Feel a way, but hey, you feel better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
First thing tomorrow, I get a call. Hey, but thanks, man. You know?
You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wanted to put in there, absolutely agreeing with Jeff O on this. And something that they also show is that sometimes there might be some backlash where they're like, well, I don't want to do this because it takes some money or it takes whatever to get into these. But they've proven and shown that prevention work is a lot cheaper than a hospital bill.
It's true.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And it's a lot cheaper than, for instance, if you lost your license because
drunk
something
driving
happened.
Driving as well. You could lose your life. You could kill somebody else.
Also, just one point. What bar owners can do, because they kind of see it as a deterrent when the police come around, I embrace that. Because any little problem I got, I call the police.
Mm-hmm.
I had, over a year ago, a gentleman came into the bar. Him and his wife had broke up. He couldn't handle it. He came to my bar drunk, and I told him he can't have a drink. And then 2 o'clock in the morning when we closed, because I always circle the property, he's lying on the concrete out there, and this guy's like 300 pounds. You know what I had to do? Just me and one of my guys were there. We couldn't pick that guy up. I called the police, and the police came, and they tried, and they worked with me, and they found where the man lived and everything.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I had to take him, put him in my truck, and you need to see four of us, me and my friend, and two cops, carrying him up.
That's caring.
You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bar owners just need to show some support as well, and not just about the money.
And compassion.
And everybody knowing about just the money with me. Hey, look, I won't see you back tomorrow. I get cursed all the time for doing the right thing. But then, hey, when you come and tell me tomorrow, yeah, boy, thanks, you know. I embrace you because, you know, that feels good. Because I don't want to be negative when you come back and apologize. No, you know, I got to take it and, you know, and embrace it.
Okay. I just want to add on what Jeffrey was saying, that the police, like how the police gave their support with that. I just want the public to know as well that the police had been very supportive with the National Drug Council and other agencies with alcohol awareness and other stuff like that. So please do know that the public is right here. The public, along with all the government agencies, are been dealing with some strategic meetings and stuff to, you know, help it make it a better, safer place and stuff like that with alcohol, because alcohol is so dangerous and it impairs your judgment, even with safe sex. It also a gateway for drugs and stuff like that. So I am a professional on that part, because I've been through all that stuff before, so I know how dangerous alcohol can be. And I also like to share that they had a guy that used to go to the bar, that every time he take a shot, he would take out his pitcher out of his wallet and look at it, and you know, he ordered two more shots, and he take out the pitcher again, and the bartender say, well, why is it that every time that you take a shot that you look at this pitcher? He said, oh, that's my wife, and whenever she starts to look good, I know I had too much to drink. So so, you know, alcohol impairs,
I didn't see that one coming.
Alcohol impairs your judgment on many things. It that made me try drugs and stuff like that. So please be mindful of that. Parents, influence your children better on a different level.
Okay. Mr. Robinson, I think you had something to say.
Yeah, also I wanted to, early on before we actually got here, I was speaking to the counselors and stuff in regards to transportation over the drug awareness. Not only over the drug awareness week, but all the time, because what happened is that we got those taxi numbers posted at the bar, where sometimes we call the taxis and they have some of them, and I'm saying it's a bad industry, but some of them, when they have to, I think they probably need to try to get involved in the tips training as well, because when we call them and they have to pick up someone from the bar
that's intoxicated,
they need to know how to handle them, because, you know, we don't want to be calling the taxi and the taxi has an issue because they can't handle this person because they're drunk, and then we have to call 911
next. Because that's an altercation
right there. I think that, you know, all those transportation industries should be involved in getting some tips training, get involved with the programs, because on that 7 mile beach, when people call for a cab,
it's because they know.
Yeah, because people leave their, they give us a key, they leave their vehicle there, and all they want is just that extra
support to, home.
To get home, and then the taxi guy can't wait, and you know, you know?
Yeah, so, go ahead, Simon.
No, I just wanted to publicly thank Jiffo for raising that point. Earlier we had a good discussion, and we're going to take it upon our hands to try to have some strategic meeting with the taxi industry.
The public transport.
Yeah, very important to this industry.
We got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get some contact information and just a breakdown in case we have sparked the interest of those in that industry to get that tips training. What can they expect when we come back?
Welcome back to the Business Buzz, the business topics that matter, an insightful and fresh take on a variety of issues that impact the local business environment.
Keeping the spotlight on National Drug Council, NDC, and it's Alcohol Awareness Month. Their theme this year is Changing Attitudes. I'm pleased to have a great group of people in studio this morning with us from the perspective of prevention and intervention support to the to even a business owner in that industry. But Mr. Simon, for those persons in the industry who may want to take up this tips training, that for right now it's not mandatory, if they want to do it on a voluntary basis, what can they expect?
They can expect a 3-hour time block out of their day to become certified for 3 years. And like once again, Sabrina, for those who are just listening in, TIPS is the global leaders for server training. This is not something that is just going to be recognized in the Cayman Islands. You know, you get an official certification card from the headquarters out of the U.S. It takes about 3 hours, like I said. Contact us at the office. It's free right now. It's being offered free. But once it becomes mandated, of course, we're going to try to put a small charge on it.
Of course.
We encourage all business owners, all of the persons in the transportation industry to give us a call, 949-9000, or visit the website, ndc.ky.
And where does these training classes take place?
We will come under a coconut tree and train.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the key is to reach out, make contact.
Absolutely.
Persons can do that individually once they're in the industry.
Yes.
And organizations as well, establishments can reach out to you as well.
Yep.
How is the NDC keeping everyone informed about the issues relating to alcohol or drugs as a means to bring about a greater awareness to substance abuse issues in our communities?
We're definitely doing things like coming on the radio shows, talking about it. We also have a Facebook page. You can find us at the National Drug Council, Cayman Islands, on Facebook. We're also promoting going through to the schools. So one of our big mandates is to talk to the youth. That's the prevention work that we're trying to work with. And so education is key. We go into primary schools. We go into the high schools. We go into private schools.
Prisons.
Yeah, also into the prisons. We go into the community. Any group that would like any kind of special help when it comes to this kind of educational purposes will come in. Yeah, just give us a call at 949-9000 and I'll probably pop up.
You think this purple ribbon bus that we have over the Christmas and New Year's holidays, more the New Year's Eve time, would probably extend throughout various times of the year, like it's carnival season now, and you understand?
You raise a very good point, Sabrina. Over the years, we always get calls after the New Year's to ask if the program could be extended throughout the year, especially those key areas where we have our carnival. It would make complete sense, but of course it's an enormous amount of money that it takes to run that program. We would love to have a conversation with, again, the transportation industry to find out if there's something that we can do to cut down the cost, or if there's a sponsor out there that would love to entertain the idea, we would welcome that conversation.
But you may have to partner with other stakeholders in the industry.
Yes. Or even a politician that have access to AIDS.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. But that's where the talks with the board, public transport board, and other stakeholders. I mean, it's one thing going to the public transport board, which gives you some access to our leaders. But you can also approach maybe some private-owned, local-owned big companies that has fleets that may have access to more vehicles.
Even the buyers can contribute as well.
Exactly. So it's no all full it. Circle. It's yep. full yep. circle.
Oh, yep. it's so good to have Jeff.
The distributors, the liquor distributors, Jake Scott, Cayman
Everyone has a role
Tortuga,
to play in this.
Everybody.
And over the years, we've had some fantastic sponsors. I mean, year after year, they're on board. But again, this is a one-night exercise. Mm-hmm. But we want people at the end of the day to be responsible.
Yes, bottom line.
That's what it's all about.
What does it take to organize and plan programs for Alcohol Awareness Month? And, what is the long-term goal of this initiative?
Well, for sure, to plan something like this, it takes a lot of time, a lot of initiative, a lot of contacts with our stakeholders. The goal, of course, almost self-explanatory, we just want to make the public aware of the issues that arise with alcohol. Obviously, we've been seeing lately that there's been a huge rise in accidents that are related with alcohol abuse, and we would love to see that go down, for instance, right? Because, like we said, if you're safer and if you're doing it responsibly, then these things go down, which also mitigate less costs on yourself for later in life. Because, if your car gone, you got to get a new car, you got to get insurance. There's a lot of things that go in that a lot of people don't think about when they're just, having one, two drinks at night. They're not thinking about these long-term effects that could potentially
be permanently disabled.
Yeah.
And actually, most people know their limit,
Everybody. Of course. Of course.
Because I might sit down and I might take two shots, but I know that I could take six, you see? But you have some people that they know that two is where it ends for them, but they continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you might say because of pressure, hey, that's a decision you got to make.
Because when it's all out of your system, right. It's reality is facing you in the right there again.
Yeah. And a lot of these behaviors, we know, it's deep. Rooted in our culture, and we need to start really seriously taking a look at that.
We need to break that mold,
yes, absolutely.
And change it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll invite each of you to leave a message to drive home to our listeners regarding Alcohol Awareness Month, and what what resonates with you most in the importance of this.
Well, I would like to say to the public to be mindful about these substances, especially our youth. We're seeing that's the drug of choice among the students, according to our latest CISDAS. To know your facts, to get informed, to try to get as much information as you can, and to try to make good decisions.
That's Ms. Louisa McLaughlin, research analyst at the NDC. We'll hear Mr. Donald Hooker, who is Prevention and Intervention Support Officer at NDC. What would you like to leave with our listening audience?
Well, I would just like to tell all the, so-called thugs and or whatever, just don't come out of that box. We need to come out of that box and get a designated driver, exercise the purple ribbon and every day, because it's kind of hard for someone like you got a macho thing about us that you, I'm not going to give you my car keys to drive and stuff like that. Come out of that box and be considerate, not just for yourself, but for other families that haven't been drinking. And most of it'd be us that drinking that had too much to drink, and we don't usually be the one that end up dying in an accident. Mm-hmm. We end up killing innocent people, and it's been happening in the whole history of this whole thing. So please be mindful of others as well. If you're not even mindful of yourself, and if it's even one life that is saved in this whole thing, it's a huge accomplishment. Thanks.
Excellent. Mr. Jiffo Robinson, owner of Jungle Bar, what would you like to leave with our listening audience?
Okay, I would like to say, get involved, bar owners, with your staff, the distributors, get involved with your staff as well, with the training programs, because these training programs teach us a lot. And, you know, that's given back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you're educated about it, it works. It's not 100%, but it works when you know that you can make a change, you can make a difference. And it's all about the money, you know. It's about drinking and safety, right? The transportation out there, get involved, you know. Try to get involved with the training so we can at least have a list of people, persons that drive the taxis that can manage, that we can call them direct.
Hey, and they would be trained.
Two persons, yeah, mm-hmm. that are trained to handle it. Because if we don't catch it before it happens, when it's too late, it's late.
Yeah. Mr. Simon Miller, what would you like to leave with our listening audience?
I would like to follow up on what Mr. Jifo just said. I would like to encourage those businesses out there that serve or sell alcohol to get in contact with us this month. 949-9000. The transportation industry, get in touch with us. Please, we would like to have a conversation with you. And to parents, start having this conversation today with your child. If you need any additional information, contact us at the National Drug Council.
Prevention and Information Officer of National Drug Council, Mr. Barnett, final words.
I just want to highlight what Mr. Simon said right there. Parents, talking to your kids, it's of the utmost importance. You are the main influence in their life. We see this over and over in our CISTIS results even, that they say one of our big influences for not doing drugs and alcohol is because our parents helped us to see this light. Mm-hmm. If you need any help with this at all, you can always contact us at the National Drug Council. We have a program, Parents as Preventers, for this. Call us at 949-9000 or give us an email at info@ndc.ky. Drop us an email and we can help set that up for you.
And our BRAC representatives, we'd also want to extend thank you, Ms. Ann Rose and Ms. Julianne over there in the BRAC, representing BAM and also working in collaboration with the NDC. It has been a pleasure speaking with you all, and thank you for allowing us to put the spotlight on the National Drug Council and creating a bigger awareness on Alcohol Awareness Month. It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
To your listening audience, we want to thank you for tuning in every Tuesday and Thursday from 7:30 until 9. Until Thursday, have a safe and fabulous Tuesday.